Wasn't that powerful? What Deanna had to say is so important for us because it's in that time of reflection and consideration that we have to ask ourselves bigger questions. And I don't know if true transformation can happen unless we do have that time of reflection. And so I want to invite you for the next few moments we have together to really try to put your mind around where you're at. Are you in construction mode? Are you in building? Or are you maybe experiencing destruction? Is that just something that just kind of describes your world? As soon as something happens to you, do you immediately run to, oh, here it goes again. Oh, this is what's going on. When we got the reports this last week of we have these killer hornets that are now part of our now world here in the United States, my first thought, just being honest here, just cards on the table, was, wow, could the year get any worse? And so it was one of those going, oh man. But the reality is God is still Lord. And yes, that's another element we have to be aware of and cautious of. But when things happen, when life happens, when conversations don't go the way we intend, when our boss calls us in and says, I'm sorry, there's going to be some changes, when the doctor calls and we just don't know what to do about the news we've just gotten, do we immediately go to destruction? Or do we look at it as maybe an opportunity that God is working to build up our life, that He can use it for His glory, for His purposes? And so that's really what I want to spend some time on this morning with you, to consider what's your mindset, what's your heart. Maybe God has bigger plans. Maybe He's actually doing something in you so that He can do something through you more consistently. And so as we jump in here, a big question that I've thrown out the last several, really last couple years, especially in our church gatherings, has been, what does a flourishing disciple look like? What does even a flourishing church look like? And we can't ever, it's not possible to become a flourishing church unless we're flourishing disciples. And so we have to work on that. We have to surrender to that, not by us working harder, but by saying, okay, what does a flourishing disciple even look like? How is it that God wants to work in us and know us, help us to know Him better? And it's really three areas of us and how we are transformed, how we grow more into the image God wants us to become like. The head, what are our thoughts? How do we engage God's word? How do we help to study Him and know Him and experience His love? In the heart, what are the changes that have to happen here? What are those from our past that plays such a big part in how we experience God, our personality? How do we take our normal everyday life, considering all the stuff that we got going on here, and use it for His glory? And it begins with us taking and humbling ourselves and saying, okay, it's not about being perfect. It's not about having it all together, but it's about every day, moment by moment, looking and saying, okay, where do you want to work? The hands is us being His hands and feet. How are we going out and helping God, helping partner with what God's doing in this world? We don't do anything for Him. It's really about being invited to be about with Him. And so of this head, heart, and hands, this is stuff that's been mentioned in the growth check. This is actually pretty much what the whole growth check's about, is how do we become a flourishing disciple? And so we hope that you'll take that challenge seriously. That Steve's been giving, that we have it on the website. Well, if you're watching online, you'll be able to get a link as we're going and talking through this right now. But know this, that we want to provide tools for you to help you in this time, that we don't just get through this COVID-19 season, but we grow through this. But we become more of who God wants us to become. And so in this time of thinking about the big kind of nuggets that Deanna was sharing, I want us to turn to a scripture, Psalm 46. Psalm 46 is an important scripture for us because if you're ever struggling, if you feel like your world is more of that destruction image that I put up earlier of the Bahamas from Hurricane Dorian, if you feel like that, then Psalm 46 needs to be a psalm that you kind of bookmark in your Bible. You need to just maybe even leave it open on the coffee table and go check it out. Find that spot where you can just go and check out and just say, Lord, Help me to believe this and stuff. So we're going to dig in a couple parts, but man, it's a great psalm, and I hope it encourages you. So let's just jump in there. It says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Ever-present. Our refuge, our strength. So what is it about running to him that we can find our refuge? How is it that that helps develop our heart, our head, and even empower us with our hands? That if we run to him and say, Lord, you're my refuge. You're the one I hope in. You're the one I lean into. Not that I can, again, figure everything out. It just, there seems to be sometimes just such challenges that we face, sometimes of our own doing, right? We might have has to be a certain way, personality kind of wise, right? And we just can get stuck in that. The reality is, it's about us focusing on him. And then as he relates to us, we are empowered, and he helps us decide what's important, what's not important, what's a priority, what's not a priority. Sometimes we get so focused on our checklist, and I love checklists. Sometimes we get so focused on our checklist and making sure everything's done, and maybe done perfect, and perfect can even become an idol. Reality is, it's a challenge for us to say, you know what, it's not about me completing everything. It's about me being the person God's called, and then what does he want me to be about? What do I need to focus on? What are the things that he wants me to do? So take your day before you take your feet out of bed, before you roll, before you get going. Lord, I humble myself. I praise you. I thank you. Help today be a day that I turn to you, that I find my refuge and strength in you. The next verse says, therefore, we will not fear because we know where our refuge is. We know who our strength is. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the sea, into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. It's a very vivid image here, right, that the writer is giving us here, that the world is not as it should be. It is crumbling. It is falling to pieces. And yet, we will not fear. So when we get these news reports, whether it be about killer hornets, or we get these reports about the various things going on in the world, may we know who our strength is. No matter what political party you and I are in, it's about who is our strength and who is our refuge. He's the one who's in charge. And so we need to turn to him to be our strength. Now, how we do that, there's a lot of different ways, and that's one of the great things I think that about our faith is God gives us so many different ways to connect with him. We mentioned in the growth check there are multiple ways, many ways, in various areas of how to engage with God, how to love God with our head and our knowledge, as well as how do we engage God, you know, when it comes to others. How do we help be a light in the darkness and be strength there? So there's all these different ways of for us to engage with God. And I just kind of want to unpack a little bit of that here in a few moments. But just know this, it's not about us trying harder. I said it last week. It's about us trusting more. It's about turning our focus. First time I realized I needed glasses, I was sitting in class at college, and I sit next to my best friend, and we're watching our professor write something on the board, and I just turned to him and I said, no one can read that. That's crazy. I mean, I was like, it's too small. And it's just almost like, what's wrong with our handwriting? And he looked at me, he's like, I can read it fine. Now, he'd just gotten glasses like the previous year or something like that, or whatever, new prescription. And so he's like, here, try my glasses. I'm like, I don't need glasses. I'm fine. He's like, seriously, they're not big and, you know, really strong, but just try them. Okay, whatever. I put them on, and oh my goodness, it was a whole new world. And that's when I discovered, I think I need glasses. We tend to not think about how we see things. We tend to not consider our focus and how the world looks until maybe we have one of those aha moments, right, that changes things up. And so I want to invite you to consider how you see things, to consider how you are being a disciple. Are you just getting by, or are you flourishing in your faith? Now, there's going to be seasons, right? There's going to be ebbs and flows where we're going to just want it. We're going to feel it. We're going to have a passion. And there's going to be other times we don't feel it at all. But we can still flourish in that. We can still flourish because we know whose we are and we know who has us. And he never lets us go. And so I want to invite you in these next verses to really consider again, is the Lord Almighty truly our fortress? The Lord Almighty is with us, with us. He is our fortress. And it's about us understanding that and embracing that, that it's not about us just trying to, again, get through and just kind of like, well, I'll just, you know, go through the motions. I don't know if you've thought about this aspect. Don't get me wrong. I can't wait for us to gather together. And I know that there's some of us that are online. We can't gather together. Those in Indiana, wink, wink. Those in Hungary, those in Jersey, and they're all over Michigan. We have people all over tuning in, family and friends and people that just found us. But there's something about that face-to-face, right? We miss that. But this is an incredible opportunity for us. This is an incredible opportunity for us to really lean in and saying, Lord, we have a great opportunity to really pour our hearts in and grow in our faith. If you thought you didn't have time for maybe getting into a small group Bible study before, you definitely have it now, or you should. There should be at least one moment, an hour somewhere in your week where you can log in or maybe call people and do it that way, or maybe use the Bible, the app kind of thing and read it together. But there's got to be something you can do each week. Let's again, grow through this time. Let's help us really believe this and understand this, to know it to the core of who we are. So again, how do we love God with our heart? Well, let me just give you just kind of paint a picture here that it's not about having the perfect plan, but we need to make sure our beginnings are right. Where's our heart with this? And so I want to invite you to consider this idea of becoming and entering into a time of silence, to not be uncomfortable with it, to not be afraid of it, to set a time, whether it be, again, on your watch or in your calendar or whatever, if you're an early person and it's you don't won't be disturbed, then use that time. But silence, to not feel you have to pray anything, just maybe a simple prayer, Lord Jesus, or precious Lord. Or if it's really, maybe just you're just struggling and you're just not sure how to move forward, and maybe your heart's just really unsettled. Maybe some of the best, most powerful prayers we can pray is the word, with one word, help. Help. And just be still. And not be afraid of what that silence is. We're going to have challenges when it comes to silence, because sometimes some people, we just aren't good at kind of having that time of reflection and that stillness and that quietness. And so we can just have all these external distractions and internal distractions. Cars driving by something going on in the house, or we have all these thoughts of things that we forgot to do, or did I take the trash out? And we start going through all these items, and then we're like, oh, Lord, I'm sorry, I'm trying to focus on you. The reality is, it's not about when you have those distractions, Lord, help me to focus on you. Help. Dear Jesus, help me to know you better now. It's important to understand that in this silence, we're not trying to get anywhere. We're just trying to open ourselves to the invitation God has given us. I believe that in times of silence, it's an opportunity for us to truly just open up. That it's not about trying to accomplish anything. No utilitarian kind of goal or aim. See, spiritual disciplines aren't the goal. They're the means to the goal of having a flourishing relationship with our Lord. And so I want to invite you to not have to worry about how it's all being worked out and being done, to just open yourself up. This is going to be a tough one. And yet, for some of you right now, this could work out really easily for you. But being maybe, again, by ourselves, it doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel comfortable. And God made us to be in relationship with others. So I'm not saying that, but I'm saying, but we need times of solitude, times to be still and silent before the Lord. This is one that's, these two are really difficult for our culture. They really are. They go against kind of just our norms. Now, many of you that maybe have experienced one or two or, you know, you've experienced God's love in very powerful ways. But the reality is it's very different. We have noise all the time. In fact, sometimes just it feels weird. Sometimes maybe you going to bed without some type of white noise. The reality is we need that time to be open before the Lord. See, I believe there's a thing called like a spiritual law of gravity, that our hearts are kind of just churning, that sometimes we're just so mixed up that all this stuff's going on, and God wants to speak to us. God wants to give us direction. God wants to bring his comfort and his peace, but we're so worked up. We got so much going on that he's got to let us settle before we're ready to hear what he has for us. So let us approach this maybe with a different understanding. Let us see that there's more to it than just sitting in a chair and saying, okay, Lord, speak, go. Try not to evaluate. Maybe set a timer even. Find a spot, set a timer. You might start off with 5 minutes, and that 5 minutes might seem like an hour to you. If you get to 5 minutes and you're like, man, I'm just getting started, set it for 10. But it's not about how much time, but it's about where is our heart in this moment. Do you sense this churning still? Do you sense that all the sediments are still floating, or have they finally come to rest? Because it's in that time of rest that we'll experience God's love and peace in a way that we so desperately need it. He knows what we need. We're usually the biggest obstacles in that. Some of you might have some fears of what this looks like. Like, what are we talking about? This whole thing about being silent and solitude and stuff is, you know, maybe even some New Age stuff. It has nothing to do with that. We need to reclaim that as Christians. It's been part of our tradition long before any of that stuff has come around. But whatever fears we have, sometimes the fears of, what do I want to hear what God has to say for me? Whatever word he does have for us, we need it. I'll tell you that. If you need kind of discernment and kind of clarity, still your heart, still your mind, still your spirit. If you need strength to love your spouse or to deal with difficult people, still your heart, know your fortress, know your strength. Don't be afraid of what he might tell you. Later in Psalm 46, actually how it kind of, the climax of the verse, he says, be still and know that I am God. It's on bumper stickers, it's on t-shirts, it's on beautiful wall hangings and stuff. The reality is it's about us coming in, accepting that invitation, stopping. For some of us, the recordings, the turning down the volume of our history tapes. I said that on purpose for those over, you know, 60. But we need to turn down those distractions and those other voices and hear a fresh word and just receive what God has for us. When we know, when we still ourselves, we will know who God is. And we will know his proper place. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth because of who he is. What would it look like today, this week, if we stilled ourselves? If we would just be still and know? I believe it's when we find that stillness, that we truly do find that knowing. And that promise of presence is almost tangible. The peace that he gives, the strength that he has for us. So I was on a conversation, I was in a conversation yesterday with some family, and they were asking about some of the challenges we were having as a church, and they were sharing about some of their challenges. And I just, you know, I said I just was so proud of our congregation, as well as how our leadership, our elders have really said, hey, you know, let's lean into this. Let's maybe use, what would it look like if we used this time and really sought after, God, what do you want us to be and do? Who do you want us to become? What if it wasn't about a rush to get anywhere, but about, again, being God's people and, again, on mission? And so the question that I got out of that conversation is, you know, we're all going to finish. How will we finish? At some point, we're all going to gather again from all different places around the world. We will gather again. But how are we going to gather? Will our life be more like a broken house? Or will it be maybe even redesigned and remodeled in a way that it's a house that we want to be in forever? It's a house that we know this is a great deep work that God has done in my heart. And I want to invite you into that. I want to invite you to ask a bigger question for you of how you're going to finish. How are you going to be the person God's called you to become? Are you, again, going to get through this, just get by, and you might be really mangled? Or is this a time that God can do some pulling apart, taking away, replanting, harvesting? Is he going to put down a bigger foundation? Every part of a journey with the Lord is going to give new insights, new understandings. It's going to reveal things that God's working on. There are times, though, I know in my life that I had a point where I was pretty confident and pretty sure of my house that I felt was built pretty well. And it wasn't until God took me through a season where he had to dismantle my house. I realized later, I didn't understand at the time, and that's usually the challenge in the storms in those very difficult seasons. He had to take apart what I had actually built up. And by the end, all I had as my foundation was Jesus, was what I understood in Scripture. And then little by little, he started to build it back up. But I tell you right now, if I didn't have the grace that God gave me to lean into it, I know I wouldn't be standing here today. I would be more like this. See, know this, the Lord knows where he's taking you and I. He knows what's not only today and tomorrow, he knows all our tomorrows. And he knew I couldn't handle the journey with what I had built. And he needed to do the deep work. And I want to invite you to be open to that. And so as we prepare to move forward in our praise and declaration of who God is in this time of worship and praise, but may that be on our hearts. May we surrender our hearts and our lives to him and say, Lord, help me to be a flourishing disciple. Help me to be open to what you want to do in my life. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we just humble ourselves and say, Lord, may you do that deep work. May our lives be more about construction, and may we not open ourselves up to the destruction. May we be so open to what you want for us and how you don't look at our lives on the downhill after 40. You look at us and as what we can give and impact still today, that if we're breathing, you have a purpose for us. If we're your son and we're your daughter, then there's not only a work you want to do in us, but there's other people that you have placed us around that need to hear the hope. And so, Lord, would you transform us? Would you change us? Would you renew us? Would we be the people you imagine us becoming? So that we may know the risen Lord, not just in thought, not just in a tradition, but personally in our lives. We pray this in your beautiful name. Amen. And now I hope that you will continue with us as we continue our praise and song. And so let us sing aloud. Don't be afraid. If you're maybe sitting with two or three other people, turn it up so they don't have to hear you. That's okay. It's not a bad thing. That's when Tatiana would play the organ. Our pianist and organist might play a little louder sometimes, or our band play loud. So just go with it. But we'll see you in a bit.